Faithful God, with all our hearts we thank you that you made us worthy to come into your presence, to hear your word. You pardoned us. We have recognized you, the only one who is worthy. We have seen you as the one who was worthy to take the book, to open the seals, to reveal the mysteries. Faithful Lord, we are fools in this world, but pardoned before you, precious in your sight. We place this meeting consciously under the coverage of your blood. Dear Lord, you know the needs, you know the pain and what touches the heart. We ask you, make us still in your presence, that we could put off everything, bringing it to your cross and leave it there, so that we can be gathered unburdened in your presence before your holy countenance. Faithful God, whether in the families, whether with the relatives or friendship, everywhere are needs of various kind. We bring them to you and we ask you, may you answer us visibly and feelable, intervening, letting us know your ways. And as we heard it in this psalm word, you are holy in all your doing. Hallelujah. Also in that what you did on us and in us and in this generation. May your spirit lead us and rule in our midst. May your word be put upon the lampstand, pure and holy. Lord, we want to hear you and we want to see you. Bless with us all your worshipping people. To you, the living God, be the glory throughout eternity. Amen. You may be seated. We are grateful to the Lord for every opportunity which we have to hear His word, to receive it in our hearts. And blessed is he who doesn't add anything to his word and takes nothing away from it, who can believe as the scripture says, who starts there where God started and stops there where he stopped, that we come into this divine lockstep, into this total dependence, and line up with him in all things. I believe that God will bring us to this point. Brother Branham saw that the bride came out of lockstep, and he also saw the efforts that she was brought back again to be able to walk the way until the end. We are, or perhaps I should say it in singular, but I include you all. We are grateful with all our hearts for that, what God has done in our time. And we don't waste time with needs which surround us, not on difficulties which want to pull us down, As we heard on Wednesday, the Lord placed us on higher ground. And because this is so, we may trust the Lord that He will make all things well. We may not understand His ways. Important is that we are not offended at Him, that we don't waste time on things which are temporal and then not reach our eternal destination because of the temporal and useless things. We have to weigh what we want to classify as priority. I think the matter of God and the completion of the church, of the bride, is the main thing in this time. Whether we are poor or rich, whether we are well off or bad off, this is not important. Whether we are understood or misunderstood is also not important. But whether we understood God, whether we have an inner agreement to His Word, whether we believe that what He is doing now and are ready to walk forward. We have to count with it, that right we will remain the main target of the enemy until the end. And whoever thinks the enemy will spare him, he must be on his side. And then he is spared. Then nothing happens at all. Then everything will be well. But this we don't want. There were people before us who fought the battle of faith, who went through misunderstandings, through austerities of various kinds, and everything was for their good. They knew that they are just guests and pilgrims here, and that they had their destination in the city whose builder is God. And this is the city with a firm foundation. There nothing shakes or staggers. Even everything else goes up into flames. At this weekend, we will deal with the subject, the overcomers. Before we read some scriptures, I would like to express my joy. I was searching a bit in the old scriptures, and there it became again great to me that what is foolishness to others has become a great blessing for us. I have here the photo of the cloud in one of the American magazines on the second page. Page 4. And there is written a wonderful headline there on top. And do you know what it says here? Everyone was offended. Only the followers of this man were not offended. He said, the appearance to him were 7 angels. All were offended. The whole world. All riddled, and maybe some are still riddling today. But unbelievers who write such things say, of course, there are others who follow this man. We don't follow this man, we follow the Lord and Him alone. But we are grateful with all our hearts for every man of God through whom the word of the Lord came, whom God could use to speak with us. If one thinks about it, that people would look at us as a bit retarded. One actually wanted to say to them, listen, in March 63, this and this happened. And then the arguments would start and would not find any end. How can you prove this? And who gives you the right? Who believes that it is so? Who can believe? Who can believe? Only the true believers who were ordained to have part in what God is doing. Whoever walks his own way will not need to believe it. I actually wanted to bring another literature. I don't know whether I have it. Yes, I have it here. With the other two men, of whom Brother Branham said they resemble those who went to Sodom. And there's just written here a subject heading, Ecumenical Formation. How grateful we can be that God has opened our eyes. And as we said it here last Wednesday, we were not placed on higher ground to look down on others. We were placed on higher ground to see better, to have a better divine overall view, to in these days, as Brother Branham said, to have the eagle's view, to see as an eagle sees, and then also the food which God prepared for us, to eat of it. We are grateful to the Lord. And I would like, before we read some words from the well-known hymn, to read the stanzas 249, overcoming by the blood, jubilating in victory, full of holy thanksgiving at the sea of glass. Overcoming by the blood is the old guilt. Jesus made everything well, looks on us in love. Overcoming by the blood is the power of sin. Despite of the devil's trickery and wrath, the victory is still ours. Overcoming by the blood is the old enemy. Soon we are in safe protection, joined with the Lord. And in the chorus it says, triumphing, the Lamb broke the power of Satan. By the blood on the cross of Calvary, we are all free. Amen. This is the gospel. This is the absolute truth. We can rely on it. What God does is well done. We sometimes promise things and cannot keep it. I promised to be on Friday in Düsseldorf and I couldn't keep it. And many of us, some things we promised. But when God promises something, then He certainly keeps it. How wonderful that we can 100% rely on God and His Word. Woe to the man who doubts it. He should rather doubt himself. Acts 10, verse 33, second part. Acts 10, 33, second part. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. In these few words, much, yes, everything was expressed. Not what Peter meant or wanted, but what was commanded thee of the Lord. We are dealing with God and with men who were commissioned by Him and who proclaimed His word in His name. Just a moment ago, Brother Gabriel said to me, "Brother Frank, last Sunday the word fell so deep into me." And he said, "I want to let you know, although it's not visible on the outside, that God is doing great things in all of us. And we have understood it, that it's not about cheap propaganda, not about an atmosphere which we could create. It is about the Word. When the Word of the Divine Promise was given to Mary, not with trumpets and cymbals, it was a promise. It was the Word of the hour. It was received, and the Spirit of God overshadowed her, and it came forth what was said in the promise. Whether emotions or not, and this probably one has to say once again here, Brother Branham said it somewhere, Mary had no sensation. She had no sensation as it was usual. And this shall be a great lesson for us who we like to flow on sensations. There where people do their things, there may be some feelings, but there where God has His work, there His word is received and believed, feelings or not, the word we receive and the Spirit comes upon us. And then the hour comes in which the divine comes forth and is born. But everywhere where a life is born, there are birth pains. And if we have to go through some kind of birth pains, as also the world must, dear Brother Branham says, the birth pains in the First World War, the birth pains in the Second World War, and he says, will the world survive the birth pains of the Third? Somehow, we must place all things divinely and let ourselves be placed into this divine order. And only then we will leave everything else left and right and will only speak of that what God has promised, what He has done, and of that what has become great to us. The Bible is right in everything. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Is your heart full of that what God has done? Then the mouth will speak of it. When you say, yes, the things of God have become so great to me, and you don't speak of it, but other things come forth, then it doesn't work. Then the heart and mouth do not line up. But there, where heart and mouth line up, there can rest blessing, remaining blessing on us. We are gathered here today in the presence of God to hear what the Lord has to say to us. Let us start with Revelation chapter 21, with verse 7. Revelation 21, verse 7. Here it says, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We have taken for this weekend the subject, the overcomers. And if we speak of overcoming, we must speak of a battle, of a contention. How can you overcome? There must have been obstacles. There must have been things which had to be overcome. And we will see from the Holy Scriptures that some kind of things are there which we have to overcome. But we receive and draw the power from Him who has overcome all things. Left to ourselves, we could give up hope. But if we look to the Lord, we receive new strength daily and can walk forward and can swing us up in the Spirit and in faith, because we know in whom we believe. We know whom we trust. We know who redeemed us. We know who spoke with us. We know who revealed Himself to us. We know who has taken us from darkness into the light. Here is the question and the answer at the same time. He that overcometh. He that overcometh. Will it be you? Will it be me? God willing, we shall show of what the overcomers are made up. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We know the overcomers is the chosen multitude. It will include all those foreseen and predestinated by God who were chosen before the foundation of the world. To them the promise was given at all times. They were the divine seed, which again received the divine seed of the word unmixed in themselves. As the prophets received the holy and pure word of God and passed it on and were called gods, so there are people on earth who were called into this divine stand and who were chosen for it, to receive the pure seed of the word of God and thus become partakers of the divine nature. From God only divine things can come forth. If any man be born of God, then he is a new creature. He has received the nature of Jesus Christ. He has crossed over from death into life. This is not a doctrine or a knowledge. This is divine reality. And thus the Lord also promised it to us. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse 11, we read the important words which then will be fulfilled when the Lord takes his own up and Satan with his host will be cast down. Here we read in Revelation 12, perhaps verse 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Let me also read verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea. It will be a reason to be happy, and whoever can believe that he is part of them may already start today to be happy, to rejoice that the hour of our bodily redemption draws near to bring the work of God with us to the completion. As Paul lined it out, that we wait for it, and as also the whole creation does it, and will then experience the bodily redemption. Those who were so accused day and night, they have overcome him, the accuser of the brethren. Now we come to the first question. When shall this overcoming take place? In 10 years, 20 years, at the coming of the Lord? When shall the overcoming start in you and in me? Not when it will be completed. When shall it begin? Today. Today, if we hear the word of the Lord, we must understand what is meant by it. I read it on purpose once again, so that we recognize the connection. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We must see here very clearly that the overcoming must set in. We must recognize where the enemy wants to assert his power. We must understand where and what we have to overcome to not stand in the service of the enemy, but in the service of God. We must discern the body of the Lord, who is unreprovable because of the sacrifice of Calvary. And we must place ourselves onto the side of God. We must speak the language of God, namely, in all things, no matter what may be the question, we have to say what God has said. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night. We notice it. It refers to time. Eternity has no day and no night. And we know that people day and night can be attacked, and that they have to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Firstly, we must overcome the enemy in us. Before we can do this, we must recognize him. We have to be able to find out in what kind of way he comes nigh to us or wants to pull us into something in what we don't belong at all. And if he then comes to the indictment, then move away immediately. When in the conversation the first accusing or indictment comes, turn around and walk away. Don't listen to it. If somebody has something to say or to complain about, let him go to him about whom he wants to complain. Let him go to him about whom he wants to say something, and not to others. Only in this way the things are clarified before God in the right way. Do you understand what is meant? We always have to go to the sender, to the address. We cannot hold to anyone and not to no man's land. We must know precisely who is the sender, who is the receiver. One has to know what's all about. Here it is about that the overcomers recognizes in what kind of way the enemy wants to put obstacles in our way, all kinds of obstacles of various kinds he wants to throw on our way so that we stumble over them. The time is here, after we have known the Lord in his speaking and in his doing, and have seen how edifying, how supporting, how the hearts were bound together, so we must know where the enemy wants to come in between, where he causes his havoc without that we sometimes understand it. We have in Revelation 5, we have actually the foundation for our overcoming, that the Lord has overcome. This we all know. He has overcome the enemy who came to him with the Bible. It's like this: when somebody comes with a Bible, then one thinks that the thing is all right. Just now somebody said it a few days ago, but in our church it is also preached from the Bible. Yes, it is preached in more than 300 churches from the Bible. But everybody preaches from the one Bible, that what he wants to preach, and that what God has said is buried long time ago. This is not visible anymore and cannot be heard anymore. So, only applying the Word of God, just picking one scripture, doesn't help anybody. One has to put every Word of God together as it is pleasing to God, to have an overall view of that about which one wants to talk. Jesus, our Lord, defeated the enemy with the word. When he said, "It is written," the Lord said, "It is also written." He went from one scripture to the other. The enemy remained with the one. He could not go further. Then it was over. He was not looking for a second one, and he didn't find it. But the Lord knew precisely which scripture fits here to defeat the enemy by it. He, the Lord, who was the Word himself becoming flesh, he took our place and he shed his blood for us, so that we, as the blood-bought flock, can arm us with his word, that is the sword of the Spirit. Even a sword must be grabbed on the right edge, and it must be handled in the right way. It is still useless if one says that one has it. Here is the word which has become so precious to us. Verse 2, Revelation 5, verse 2, and then mainly verse 5. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" Now verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Here we come to the mystery of Christ and the church. Christ is the head. He is only complete in connection with his body, with all members which make up his body. We all know that the Holy Scripture calls him the head. Likewise, we know that the church is called his body. There must be a joining together. A connection must take place between the several members which make up together the body of the Lord and between the head, Jesus Christ. And as he, being the head, has overcome, so we may, as participants, for us it happened. After all, we are his purchased possession. We are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, to speak with Paul according to Ephesians chapter 5. We are not guests and strangers. We are citizens of God and of his household. We make up the body of the Lord, and Christ is the head. He, the head, has overcome for the members. And we'll see that our faith is necessary, that also in us this divine overcoming can take place. If you don't overcome the matter, then the matter will overcome you. If you don't defeat it, it will defeat you. It is always a spiritual battle. And into this spiritual battle, we have been placed. Here it is about to show us that not we were sent into the battleground to somewhere and to make the comparison with David and Goliath to face the enemy. No, the Lord, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Son of David, he has faced the enemy. He defeated him. He conquered death and hell and rose on the third day from the dead and has said to John, "Behold, I was dead and I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and hell." These are words of God, and they are not empty, they are full. This is the full and holy gospel and salvation through Jesus Christ for all who have received their salvation in their heart by faith. And let me emphasize this. Brother Branham says it in the sermon, "United under one head." He says, Satan takes always the head and speaks to the head, but God chooses the heart and speaks to the heart, and faith arises in the heart. In the head arise arguments and the reasonings which lead to nothing, but faith arises in the heart. Why? Because the word which comes to us falls into our hearts, and that then, as the result, this faith comes forth. One has overcome. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome. For you and for me, the battle was fought. We have received the equipping, the armor of God. But we have to get the defeated enemies once again under our feet. It may sound paradox, and nevertheless it is so. Although the Lord has done and accomplished everything, also we are in a spiritual battle. And no one of us can rest somewhere on a pillow. All of us, if we are part of the overcomers, we will have to deal with the powers of darkness. with whom the Lord dealt with. But we do it knowing that the victory is on our side. Sometime I mentioned it. In the Third Reich, they always used this formulation, especially while marching and exercising. This sounds even today in my ears. The words "Sieg Heil," "Hail Victory." Some of the elderly, they can still remember it well. When I think about it, it penetrates my heart. Their charlatans used slogans which actually belong to us in the kingdom of God. Ours is the victory, and ours is the salvation of our God. For thus it is written in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 49, "The whole earth shall see the salvation of our God." And what did these people do? They used the words that were out of place. God has a church which will win because salvation was given to her. There, where the salvation of God has really been manifested in your life, there also the victory of God will have to be manifested. We believe that He has overcome, right? Can we believe that we also, through Him, may also be part of the overcomers? Amen. If we cannot believe it, it cannot happen. Faith precedes always that what God does. Always. And first comes the preaching, as we know. Let us read from 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, 13 and 14. 1 John 2, 13 and 14. "I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." Not "ye will overcome," but "ye have overcome." What a wonderful word. Can we get to this stage? Will this be possible? If it seems impossible for us, then it doesn't have to be impossible for God. No, we will walk forward by faith, and we will believe every word of God, knowing that it was addressed to us, that it speaks today to us, and it also means what it says. The first question here from verse 13 could be as follows. It says here, "I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning." Now I ask you and all who probably will hear this tape, may we number ourselves to them who have known him who is from the beginning? Have we recognized him who is the beginning and the end, who is Alpha and Omega, who is the first and the last? To such this word is addressed, hallelujah, not to some interpreters, not to people who believe what they like, but the overcomers know him who was from the very beginning. Oh, here one could read a number of scriptures. And who are those who know him? They are those who were known by him before the foundation of the world. And now we just have to make sure our calling and election. If people don't recognize the revelation of God in Christ, it may hurt, but then they are still in the camp of the Antichrist. Whoever is in the kingdom of God must know the King who is in this kingdom. No more riddling and no more guessing. I read, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. We have known him. Praise be to his name. We may testify that to us the revelation of Jesus Christ in his Godhead has become the most precious revelation of all revelations, right or not? And in this revelation of God in Christ are hidden all treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. And Paul writes, this mystery is Christ, in whom all treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. It continues, 1 John chapter 2, in verse 13, I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Here young and old are included. Who can overcome him? Only he who is on the side of the victor, who is on the side of the overcomer. Have we placed ourselves on his side? Then he will be with us, and we will overcome the wicked one. Here it is already written as a fact by faith. Because ye have overcome the wicked one. You all know, the raptured crowd, of them it is said that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And here is the great mystery, the blood-bought multitude, on whom can be no condemnation, no judgment, has found grace with God, and by grace God revealed himself to them, and therefore we have known him who is from the beginning, and at the same time have overcome the wicked one. Because it is God's word, I believe it. For me, and for the whole church, bright church of the living God. You may say, if you would know in what kind of battle I am, I am not interested in it. I am not here to have human conversations. I am here to set forth what God has to say to you and to me through his word. We have read in Acts chapter 10, in verse 33, we are all here present before God to hear what God commanded thee. A man of God can only have one commission, and this is the commission of the proclamation of the word of God. And there is nothing more beautiful than to believe and trust God in an absolute hopeless situation. And this while knowing that you and I can do absolutely nothing. There faith sets in. If we have certain starting points for our success, then we think to believe. This is no faith at all. This is seeing or hearing. Faith receives that what God has said deep in his heart. And we say within ourselves, deep in our soul, Lord, we have known you, who you were from the beginning. We have overcome the wicked one. It continues. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. You all know, the dispute is always, who is the Father and who is the Son, and in what relation are they? I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Philip, at that time, he asked, show us the Father. And the Lord says, for so long I am with you, and ye have not known me. And suddenly their eyes were opened. They recognized that the Father has revealed himself in the Son. How often he used the saying, my daughter, thy faith has healed you. Another time, children, do you have something to eat? Time and again he used these sayings. The people just read over it as if it doesn't have to say anything to them. There are people on earth who received a complete revelation without but and without if, without any reasonings, just based upon the scripture, by the Holy Spirit, they received the revelation about God. And these are the overcomers. I don't know whether you understand the depth with which we are dealing here today. I write unto you, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, because ye have known the Father. I write unto you, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Here one link in the chain interlocks with the other. And we see what is meant by it. I have written unto you, because you have known the Father. Let me again ask, how many have recognized divinely that the Father has revealed himself in the Son to mankind? Say amen. Hallelujah. Then this word is addressed to us. I ask you, which denomination has this divine revelation in these days? We can look for it, and we will not find it. God has a church on earth, which he teaches, and therein is the force of the divine message, which we received in these days. Not findings which blow up the head, but revelation that fills the heart. And upon this we are established. The whole church is built upon revelation, upon the revelation of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we may humbly confess, this revelation was given to us. And therefore, I believe that it will be these people, these brothers and sisters, who overcome the wicked one by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. This word of God becomes their personal testimony because it's a revealed truth to them, not a partial truth. Full, perfect, total unveiling and revelation of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. This revelation of God in Christ, it will mean a lot, namely to all to whom God could reveal Himself, and they who have seen this revelation of God in Jesus Christ. Verse 14, almost a repetition, but it seems to be important. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. Can we testify to this? Because ye are strong. That what comes from God strengthens, settles, builds up. And I think we must now forget the trouble of our earthly tabernacle and also the problems which are surrounding us or our bodies and placing us really upon divine revelation ground, believing God with all our hearts. We must do it as Abraham did. What is written of him? He didn't look at his body, neither at the deadness of Sarah's womb. He looked to the invisible as he would see him. He was holding fast to the promise of God. And through Christ, we became the seed of Abraham. If we heard and recognized God, and if we heard His promises for this time and believed them. Oh, thanks be to God. It makes me glad and at the same time sad that I still see some sad here. If we are not touched by this matter of God, who we were pardoned by God to experience all this, I ask you once again, is the same God who has Himself revealed to us, giving us the grace to see Him in His divine revelation, is He not able to continue to reveal Himself to us until Christ has taken full shape in us, and He could become the overcomer in you and in me, in your and in my life? Can we not believe this? The same God has given us the first revelation for the purpose to that what goes with it, then to do. He will not do it in the half-believers or partial believers. He will do it with them who fully believe Him and His word. I have written unto you because ye are strong. Can we believe this? Although you could earthly notice weaknesses and infirmities, let it be said to you again, this is not what we are speaking about tonight. Tonight it is about to set forth the divine point of view, and what is perceptible earthly, this is a temporal lie and illusion. But that what God has said of His people in His word remains forever true and will be manifested as a divine fact. Can we believe this? Then we will see the glory of God. Then we can experience it as being true in our own lives. I have written unto you because you are strong. Just say, in all your weakness, and Paul was the most honest man that I know. He has admitted his weaknesses as no one of us would admit it. In Romans 7, one could despair with him. I, wretched man, who shall redeem me from this body of death? And so forth. What I want to do, I do not. And what I don't want, this I do. Here one sees the inner battle. Thanks be to God for such truthfulness in the man of God. They were not pious mask wearers and no swashbucklers. These were men of God who walked this earth like we do. If we would only have their soaring flights reported here, where would we be with our crash landings? But God has led them in such a way. I'm always grateful for this. Oh, how grateful we can be for the Word of God. Everything was written down. But now just briefly, to finish this verse. I have written unto you, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, because ye are strong. And now it comes. And the Word of God abideth in you continually. Here we have it. John was brought unto the Isle of Patmos. For what? For the sake of the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. Now it's our turn. Now we are required. And by faith we can say, Lord, with your help we shall succeed. And at the end we will not even say, we made it now. We will sing, as Brother Branham said, Amazing grace brought me here. There will be no one in glory who will come to the other and say, you see, I made it. All will together praise the blood of the Lamb and rejoice about that he has laid into us the overcoming power, the resurrection power, the faith power, the spirit power to thus bring us to his destination. He has placed us on his way and it leads to glory. This I guarantee you. We go here through all the trials. Sometimes they become almost too difficult. But the Lord says in his word that no one is burdened more than he can carry. And if you say, Lord, I can't anymore, then one knows precisely that the Lord gives daily the strength and that we don't have to despair, but walking forward by faith. Because ye are strong and the Word of God abideth in you. Not only then, when it fits into our concept, when it applies to others, when others are meant, but continually, the whole Word, when the Word of God in its fullness continually abides in us, and ye have overcome the wicked one. This is the emphasis here. We see this multitude of which it is spoken here are the overcomers. They have overcome the wicked one. How could they overcome the wicked one? Because they have known him who was from the beginning. And by this revelation of Jesus Christ, the power of God flowed to us, so that we also can overcome the wicked one. And tomorrow you will see what is still to be overcome. Even to the mark of the beast and everything what can still come into our way. But by the grace of God, we will be there. He will make it with all of us. For thus it is written, he who started, he will also finish. I have written to you, because you are strong, and the Word of God continually abides in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. I simply believe it. I believe that these things belong together. I cannot pull the Word of God apart. I have to leave it in this context. Blessed are all those who can say with all their heart, Lord, Thou hast revealed Yourself to me. I see You as the One who was from the beginning, as the Alpha and Omega, as the first and the last, who was and who is and who is to come, the Almighty. And in this revelation of God, in Jesus Christ, our Lord, lies the difference between the Bride of the Lamb and all the other churches who one day will be part of the foolish ones. To them to whom God could reveal Himself, they are ordained to see His glory. They are under the blood of the new covenant. For thus the Lord said, this is the new covenant in my blood. He shed his blood. He blotted out our guilt and sin and has forgiven. We glorify the power of the blood, and therefore the enemy cannot touch us. Everyone who comes out from under the coverage of the blood, he will again start to rummage around in the old things which were forgiven, and then it gets worse, very, very bad. The overcomers overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Let us keep this in mind. And what happened through the blood of the Lamb? Perfect redemption, perfect forgiveness, full salvation, a great reconciliation day of God took place on Calvary. And in this reconciliation, we have been included and we have known Him of whom it is written, God was in Christ and reconciled the world with Himself. What a grace! For me, all this is precious, a wonderful context. Child of God, brother, sister, take new courage. Be strengthened. Say by faith, yes, to the Word of God. Although you didn't see it fulfilled, you will see it fulfilled. If you believe it with all your heart and can say yes to it, and that shouldn't be difficult for us. The help which is given to us here is in the fact of the revelation of Jesus Christ. They are the ones who will overcome the enemy through Him who has overcome him already for them. We are in a battle that has long been decided, as then Goliath and David decided for the peoples on both sides. So Christ decided His matter for His people on the cross of Calvary. And the powers of the enemy have to submit unto us in the name of the Lord, who has won the victory on the cross of Calvary. Do you all believe it? Blessed be His name. Amen. Let us stand up and worship. Maybe we sing the chorus, Wonderful Calvary.
Thank you.
My sin is forgiven. My guilt is paid for. Wonderful Calvary. Just as I am. Do you all believe with all your heart that the Lord has revealed himself to us as the first and the last in his Godhead? Then say Amen. Do you all believe that God's word as divine revelation continually abides in us? Amen. Do you all believe that also this statement is truth, that we have overcome the wicked one? Say Amen. Amen. We say Amen in perfect faith. We don't fool ourselves and also not others, but we will not make God a liar. What God has said is forever true. And therefore we say Amen. We don't say Amen to our weakness and infirmities. We say Amen to God and his word. We say Amen to the victory of Calvary, which must be fully manifested in our life. Praise be to our God. We have overcome the wicked one. The word of God continually abides in us. We have known him who was from the beginning, because he has known us already before the beginning and wrote us into the Lamb's book of life. What a bliss to be redeemed. Brothers, sisters, get happy, get thankful. Believe God. Whoever does not believe God makes him a liar. Who wants to dare to make God a liar? We place ourselves unto the side of God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we place us upon the victory ground of Calvary, under the precious and holy blood which was shed on the cross of Calvary. The blood is our protection, our preservation. When the enemy sees it, he must bypass us angrily. He cannot harm us. Our soul he cannot touch. He can demolish houses, but our soul he cannot touch. It belongs to God, and for this we are grateful. Today we have heard his word. Today we heard him speak to us, and today we believe. Today we say Amen to that what he said, because we believe it, and we will see our Lord. Blessed and praised be his name. Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, who are we humans? We have no prophet and no apostle amongst us, no one of high reputation. But we have one, namely the one who was from the beginning, who walks amidst the seven golden candlesticks, who has sent his servants and prophets up to our beloved brother Branham. Faithful God, thank you for the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have known you because you have known us. We love you because you loved us. We come to you because you came to us. O Lord, my God. What a grace, what a privilege, what a salvation. And may from our mouths the victory and the salvation of God be glorified and proclaimed. O Lord, you have taken care of your people. I thank you for it. You will finish your work. Worship to your name, dear Lord. By faith, I proclaim your victory over your blood-bought flock who have received your word and in whom it abides continually. For they have known you as the word becoming flesh. Hallelujah. Lord, they have overcome the wicked one. In triumph, the Lamb broke the power of Satan. By the cross of Calvary, we are all free. Hallelujah. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. The word of the cross is even today the power of God. Hallelujah. Be to our God throughout eternity. Amen.